Let's pray. Dearest God, please help us with these passages that we hear and that we read that seem so large and massive to us. And I ask you that we can break them down and that we can take your words into our hearts and it help us in our days to come. Amen. If you're anything like me, you'll be looking ahead at the moment and starting to think about Christmas. And being in my line of work, of course, means there's a lot of planning for church services, as well as my own personal planning for family and present buying and so on. And the hope behind the planning is that it will all go well and be a cause of celebration and happiness where we can celebrate the birth of Christ. So no matter how stressful it gets, and it does get stressful, I look forward to a time of great joy celebrating Jesus' birth. But how different is the vision of future that Jesus gives here? It's hardly a reading that you would choose to cheer yourself up, is it? It begins with the disciples' open admiration of the buildings they're surrounded by, including the temple. The temple was built by Herod to appease the Jewish people, and it was reputed to be the most beautiful building in the whole world. To the disciples, it's magnificent, with huge stones and decoration. But Jesus sees another dimension. He foretells the destruction of the building, something which did come true in AD 70. He predicts wars, earthquakes, and famine. He talks about deceit. And this prediction is also reflected in the reading from Daniel. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. Just last week, we celebrated Armistice and the 100-year centenary of the end of the First World War. So as well as remembering those who fell, it was also a day when we celebrate peace. Yet in reality, we're not living in peace. Wars are still ongoing, and the victims of war with physical and mental injuries and their loved ones are fighting internal wars of their own. And there seems to me, and it might only be to me, but it seems to me that there's an increase in extreme weather patterns and natural disasters, floods, earthquakes, tsunamis. Millions die of hunger due to famine. People in this country are struggling with poverty, with increased numbers of people struggling to make ends meet. So when I read this reading, I wondered, is this happening now? And I've noticed that people have started Christmas preparations even earlier this year. There were Christmas films on television before Bonfire Night. And I wonder whether it's partly a reaction to the hard times people are facing, whether it's because people want, almost need, a happy thought in all the dark times. Jesus describes these disasters as the beginning of birth pains, and I found that really helpful. I suppose if you haven't had birth pains, you might not find it quite so helpful, but just try to imagine. But it reminded me that Jesus had brothers and I believe a sister, so he would have been in the house when his mother gave birth. And she would have had her children with no national health service, no gas or air or any of these privileges, as indeed many women worldwide now don't have them. So I think Jesus would have had some experience, although not firsthand, of the perils of childbirth, as would his disciples. In the ordinary world of the ancient Middle East, a good deal of intimate family life went on in the semi-public world, and giving birth was part of common knowledge. And Jesus chooses to describe these disasters as this, the beginning of birth pains. I don't remember the beginning of birth pains because I had my daughter following a 3-day labour. It took that long that they gave my husband a bed on the ward. And the cleaner came in the next day and had the shock of her life. She thought it was the first male birth, I think. So I just don't remember the beginning of birth pains at all. But I do remember knowing this was a process I was going to have to go through. Babies don't get beamed down from outer space. Very inconvenient of them, but they don't. You have to go through it. And I remember at the beginning dreading it and feeling really scared. And I think when we hear this reading, we can feel the same. Will it get worse? What will happen to us? What's going to happen? But I know from giving birth that you do cope with it. It's like waves on a sea. You have lulls that enable you to strengthen and cope with the next pang, and you manage it. In fact, you manage it so well that some people go through it again and produce brothers and sisters. But there's no doubt that it's a big and difficult journey and a significant event. And Jesus is warning his disciples that tough times are ahead. But he also says, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come, he says. And the end here, I think, is not the end of the world. Sometimes you can read this passage and think that that's what it means. But it's not that. It's not something to be dreaded. It's actually a beginning. The end is the end of all the former things he's described. There will be, as Daniel puts it, deliverance. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, says Daniel. He's speaking of an age to come in which justice and peace, mercy and truth will flourish. Some will awake to shame and everlasting contempt, but then he gives a beautiful description of those who are wise and discerning. They will shine like the brightness of the heavens. Jesus is warning us in this passage so that we can be wise and discerning. If we use our heads and refuse to get swept into the ways of the world, if we uphold our faith and strive to lead a good life despite the evils around us, we can shine no matter how dark it becomes. And then Daniel says, those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. So if we share our faith with others, however we do it, whether it's talking to them of it, or inviting them to the Christmas fair or the crib service, or if we show them an alternative way of living by leading a good life, sharing the things we have, we will shine like the stars forever and ever, which is a beautiful image. And to come back to the childbirth reference, you take that first look at your child when they're born and the labour pangs become the past. Your focus changes. You're in a different zone, in a different life. And the love just overwhelms you. And when I gave birth, I was also completely overwhelmed by the miracle of birth, how this tiny thing has occurred at all. Birth pains are not the end of something. They're the beginning. The beginning of a new life and of creation. So what do we do with this information? Well, Jesus is warning us that this will happen and we don't know when. It may have begun already, but we can't dictate when it will happen or how. I remember when I was pregnant, there were friends who said you could encourage a baby to be born by eating a hot, spicy meal. But if the baby doesn't want to be born, no amount of tikka masala will do it. It'll happen when the baby decides it's going to happen. And I think this passage is the same. It's just saying, be prepared. It'll happen when it happens. But it also says, listen and look out. We have already been sent those wonderful people who teach us God's ways. It may be your parents, it may be Sunday school teachers, it may be friends, it may be others in church. So discern those around you and those who lead you in good ways of living and listen to them. And those who don't, who try to lead you into thinking that isn't of God, don't listen. Don't be swept into their rhetoric. And although you're going to worry, don't worry. Because as we look forward to the birth of Jesus, remember that his birth changed everything. He gave us hope beyond struggle. This is not the end, like birth pangs. It's the beginning of new life, everlasting life. And with God on our side, ultimately, we have nothing to fear. Amen.